Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. All right, so Broncos training camp today. Ordinarily, we would lead with that because everybody wants to know what's going on with the quarterback situation. But Mace, as you and I talked about, I think it would be completely irresponsible of us not to talk about the major breaking news, not just locally, but nationally, as the Rockies, at the very least nationally, have become the laughingstock of Major League Baseball. Here in town, people are really, really upset. And with that, time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
At the risk of tooting my own horn, about 2-3 weeks ago, I think I told you I had a really, really good source on the Trevor Story situation. And the source said to me, do not be surprised if the Rockies do not trade Trevor Story, because they are not overly familiar with what other teams have in their minor league system. And drafting, for lack of a better phrase, although the history over the last 6, 7, 8 years doesn't suggest it, drafting is Bill Schmidt's wheelhouse, who is now the interim GM. With that, Trevor Story is staying with this ball club for the next couple of months. Story told the Denver Post, quote, I am confused and I don't have really anything good to say about the situation and how it unfolded. John Gray is staying. Trevor Story is staying. They might get compensatory picks for both guys. The Rockies have indicated they want to sign John Gray to a long-term deal, but as Bill Schmidt said, takes two to tango, so we don't know if that's going to work out. Trevor Story has no interest in staying. And this thing is a hot mess locally and nationally. I was watching the MLB Network, and they are talking about the Rockies like they are absolute fools for not getting something for Trevor Story.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the most active trade deadlines in the history of Major League Baseball. You got more teams that perceive themselves in contention now than most years. There were opportunities. I mean, we went through with Trevor Story. We talked about how not every team's looking for a shortstop. Some are looking to convert him to second base, but there were multiple options. And then one by one, they fall by the wayside because the Rockies aren't as willing to deal.
Couldn't make a decision. Yeah. And we're saying, you know what? The compensatory pick doesn't sound so bad. You know why they're probably saying that? Well, Trevor Story, he was a compensatory pick. So we can get another Trevor Story, maybe.
Yeah, it's like saying that Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick, so he can find a quarterback in the 6th round.
Right.
Trevor Story, Mike Trout, these guys are the outliers in this. The chance, and the other thing is the chance to restocking your farm system, which is barren. It's bottom 5 right now in Major League Baseball. The chance to restock with prospects who, yeah, at one point they were draft picks, but they've proven that they can start moving up the line, that they're on track to become Major League Baseball players in the next year or two. The chance to do that would have helped the Rockies, maybe not today, but might have helped them in a year or two, and they just decided to sit there. You know, you could go for it, or you could punt, or you could do what the Rockies did, which is just stand there, slack jaw with a dopey look on your face, wondering what the hell is going on around me.
I want to read you some of the tweets on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed that were written locally and nationally before the 2 o'clock trade deadline locally. This coming from Thomas Harding, MLB.com, covers the Rockies. He's going to actually be joining us.
Friend of the program.
Right. He'll be joining us at 5 o'clock to talk about this. This is what he put on Twitter. This tweet, the one he was writing a couple hours before the deadline, could be moot in an hour and 20 minutes. But what if the Rockies don't trade Trevor Story? Is it a total tragedy to get a compensatory pick when he walks as a free agent? Agree or disagree, but the Rockies don't think they need a total rebuild. Last winter, many were calling for the Giants to blow up their roster. They valued their veterans. What if the Rocks, with starting pitching and complementary parts, go out and buy productive veteran bats? The Athletic's Tim Britton on Twitter. He covers the Mets. Hearing the Mets have not gained any traction with the Rockies still, which makes it unlikely something comes together in the next few hours because or between the two clubs. Said it on the podcast last night. Colorado has not acted the way most teams would given its competitive situation. MLB.com's Mike Feinstein wrote on Twitter, I'm hearing the Rockies are holding firm to their asking price for Story. Given the heat they took for the return on Arenado, trading Story for peanuts would be a bad look. Interim GM Bill Schmidt is a draft guy, so the compensatory pick is probably appealing to him if deals aren't there. This is what you and I have been talking about over the last couple of weeks. You know what? The compensatory pick, that looks pretty good, right? That looks pretty good. And they were holding firm on what they wanted. And I believe Bill Schmidt said this in the press conference. We were never truly close on anything, but if something was close, we would have gotten something done.
You know, from the Rocky Mountain Forest Park's Twitter feed, this is somebody responding to a tweet I had about the Rockies this afternoon. It's just a fan, but I think it sort of sums things up. I just can't make any sense about anything the Rockies do. Hard to imagine any other pro sports teams that are this incompetent. Maybe the Clippers back in the day. Think about that.
Listen,
they're the embarrassment of Major League Baseball right now.
We will find out when that compensatory pick is made, and we'll see how good that guy is. Mm-hmm. So before we jump all over the Rockies, although right now it's easy to jump on them, right? It's like when the Arenado trade went down. I said to people who were calling me, let's wait to see what they get back.
Yeah.
Let's wait to see what they get back. And when we saw what they got back, we knew it was strictly a salary dump. Let's wait to see what this compensatory pick turns out to be. And you can make this here. Remember when the Rockies traded Ubaldo Jimenez? And you're like, okay, let's wait to see how some of these guys play. Drew Pomeranz was in that trade. He's been great with other teams, just not with the Rockies. That trade blew up because they got almost nothing in return of value. So you evaluate a trade, you evaluate the draft years out. But right now, it looks terrible knowing Story is going to walk and all you're going to get is a pick in the 30s. And you would say, hey, maybe Bill Schmidt will hit the jackpot. The problem is, since Jeff Breidich took over the draft in 2014, he's no longer with the team. They've had trouble enough hitting top 10 picks, more or less something in the top 35.
Exactly. I mean, since 2015, you're looking at Brendan Rodgers, Riley Pint, Ryan Velotti, Ryan Lawson, Mike Toglia, and Zach Veen. Now, obviously, you get to the recent ones. You don't want to get too much into that, but Riley Pint was the number four overall pick.
He's out of baseball.
He's retired. Brendan Rodgers, talented, can't stay healthy.
When he's had his chance, he couldn't make the club.
That's, you know, and these are first round picks. We're not these are high first round picks we're talking about. Not picking after the first round, which is where the compensatory selection is going to be. And the other thing that comes into play, kind of the pure timing of this. The Rockies, realistically, they do need a reset, rebuild, reboot, call it what you will. But if you make a trade for prospects that are well down the line in their development, that they, you know, they're at high A or they're at double A, and it's clear they're on a path to being in the big leagues at some point and potentially helping you, they've kind of already got, they're lower risk because they've got a better chance of getting the major leagues and doing something there. And they're also going to be helpful for you sooner. A draft pick, realistically, probably at best case, is helpful for you in 2 years after that pick if you're picking a college stud.
I'm going to piggyback
more on like
that.
Three or four.
I'm going to piggyback on that. You trade for prospects right now. The clock starts. When are these guys going to make the major league club? And how much are they going to help the major league club? The clock starts immediately.
Yes.
By doing the compensatory pick, what is Dick Monfort doing? He is buying time and hoping people forget in 4 to 5 years, depending on who they draft, a college guy or a high school kid, that maybe people will forget that that compensatory pick was what they got for Trevor Story. And that will be so far in the rearview mirror, most people won't remember who that compensatory pick is. If I am still doing this job with you, I can promise you, when the Rockies make this compensatory pick, I will take that guy's name and, metaphorically speaking, tattoo it on my forehead so I can look at that name in the mirror every day so I don't forget it, so I can track this guy's progress.
So 5 years from now, we'll know if it was a good move or not, basically.
We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing...
They still have a year to the next draft. Yeah. Think about that for a second. They have a year until the next draft, so they've already bought themselves one full year.
And oh, by the way, In this division, on top of everything else, you have the Dodgers with a Godzilla-sized budget, the Padres who are...
Wait, Godzilla-sized budget, and they have a great farm system, yes, and right, they scout very well internationally. Yeah. You forgot those two big things.
The Padres who are willing to go now dollar for dollar and punch for punch with the Dodgers, the Giants who... They were down until this year, but as an organization, it's a high, you know, they're kind of like the Red Sox, okay, of the West Coast. They might be down for a year or two, but they have the resources to ensure that they don't stay down for long. And now you're the Rockies staring up at those three, and you're not any closer to potentially pushing than you were at the start of the day.
Here's the thing about the Rockies.
And they're just going to keep kicking the can down the road.
Here's the thing about the Rockies organization. Then we got to hit a break. The Rockies, their plan is to draft and develop. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is, if that is solely your plan, chances are it is not going to succeed in Major League Baseball. You have to add pieces here and there, specifically a significant piece or two. The Rockies have spent poorly or are not doing that. They are a draft and develop team, and that's one reason why they're taking this compensatory pick, but you can't do it just one way in baseball.
And that's why if they want to rebuild this organization, I think they should look to the Tampa Bay Rays, import some of their intelligence.
Please.
Because they do draft and develop.
I know they do, but they're not going to be hiring anybody in Tampa's organization.
Well, I know they're not. They should. Of but they won't. Should.
That's right. Coming up after the break, how did the quarterbacks do today? It's day three. Nobody's thrown an interception so far. Who's in the lead? Who's in the lead? Drew versus Teddy. That's next. But you don't even know. I can make your hands clap.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us at milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for a new Mazda, you can walk into a lot of Mazda stores in town. The problem is they don't have the inventory that you want because of the supply chains breaking down. But I can promise you one thing. You go to Siltahar Mazda in Broomfield, they have the inventory that you want. So you can get a car right now. They have 49 CX-30s in stock right now. 16 CX-5s, both of them. Great rides. Take a test drive in one today. I'll tell you something else. Their service department is fantastic. I was there about a week ago. They got me right in, took care of what I needed them to take care of. I was in and out, friendly, efficient. Siltahar in general is great. Siltahar Mazda is fantastic. Siltahar, they've been around forever. Go check them out in Broomfield or go to sthmazda.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to MightyPH.com.
All right, day three of the quarterback battle. I want to read a quote here from Vic Fangio. He said, checkdowns are good because, listen, we've talked a lot about Drew Lock is checking down a little bit more, not taking as many risks. Teddy Bridgewater, more of a check down guy. Fangio said, checkdowns are good, but you need more than checkdowns. Then went on to say, and this was probably aimed more at Drew Lock. One crappy play.
He said another word other than crappy, though.
He did, but it's in the same
defecation ballpark
category. It would be in the same toilet. One crappy play. How many of the wow plays do you need to wipe one of those off your books? And that was aimed more towards Locke. The first one aimed more towards Teddy Bridgewater. Right now, he says, it's even. Do you think it's even?
I think Bridgewater is a slight lead. And I would say this. Bridgewater was better yesterday by some distance. On Wednesday, thought day one was a push. Some pundits thought Drew had the better of the day. Some, including some former players, thought Teddy had the better of the day. But Drew being better today, he wasn't better by a knockout. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if we're talking like a 1 to 10, and it's 10 points for each day. First day I had 5-5. Second day I had 7.5 to 2.5. Today, it was Drew, but it was 6-4. Because okay. Bridgewater, he wasn't bad. He missed one deep shot down the sideline. He overshot Noah Fant on a post route in the end zone. But by the way, that same kind of route yesterday in the red zone, when Drew Lock threw it, he threw it twice in a triple coverage and nearly got picked off both times, whereas Teddy put it out of the reach of everybody so it wasn't a turnover.
Okay, you and I had this conversation with some other media guys on the sidelines today. And I said, let's liken the quarterback competition to golf. What a lot of people are doing is they are looking at the quarterback competition like match play. If you don't know what match play is, it's about winning a hole. If I go out there and shoot 9 over on the first hole and you are 1 under, it only counts as 1 point for you because it's match play.
Mm-hmm.
Stroke play is the way I think that we should be looking at this. You just broke it down with numbers.
Right.
You add up all the numbers like stroke play. Did you shoot an 84 today? You shoot a 78? Did you shoot a 92? I think that's the way we need to be looking at this. It's an overall. How you shot for the 18 holes.
Bingo.
Not did you win a hole and then you went on to the next hole and you lost it.
And I would say this, if let's say that each day is a hole, right? Day one, they both shot par. You have the hole. Day two.
Well, that's match play.
But no, I'm also going to say what their strokes are. Day two, say Bridgewater was 1 under par, Locke was 2 over par. Pretty decisive, you know, basically locked, you know, he had 7 incompletions in a row at one point, struggled under pressure. I'd call yesterday a double bogey. Today, Locke, you know what? He was under par. That's good. He was 1 under. Teddy Bridgewater was once again even. So,
well, it was based on one play. It was based on one play in which he underthrew a ball, I believe it was to Jerry Jeudy. Uh-huh. And are we really honestly going to penalize a guy and say he didn't have as good of a day because of one play? It's not like it was a pick. You can make the case that Darby could have.
But Locke didn't make any mistakes today. I mean, so
nobody's been making mistakes. Isn't that interesting?
Well,
no interceptions.
No turnovers. But right. Locke had his best overall day. But the thing is, the point being, if it's match play, then we're all square through three holes because they have the first hole. Teddy won the second. Drew won the third. But if we're talking about stroke play,
yeah,
Drew is plus one through three. Teddy is one under through three.
Overall with the offense, they've looked all right. Generally speaking, in camp, especially early on, the defense is ahead of the offense. And this defense, we believe, is going to be pretty good. Are you surprised that the offense, you can make the case overall, especially if we're talking stroke play, mm-hmm. that the offense has looked just as good as the defense, if not better, every day?
Yesterday, I thought the defense got the better of it, and there was a lot of pressure involved with that.
But we're talking, well, yeah, Shelby Harris knocked down a pass. I'm with you.
And Shelby didn't practice today.
But
Von Miller didn't practice today.
Right.
Kareem Jackson didn't practice
today.
By the
way,
and I think
day three, you're a vet day? Really? Day three. You had two practices, and we need to get these guys some rest. Really? Doesn't that sound a little odd?
I'm not begrudging our guy Shelby Harris a vet day because of what he went through to get back on the field last year after having COVID.
Last year has nothing to do with this year.
I'm just saying.
Two days of practice?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Not two a days, not doing Oklahoma drills.
I'm giving Shelby the benefit of the doubt. But that being said.
What about Kareem?
Well, Kareem probably should have been.
What about Vaughn?
Vaughn missed all of last year, yes.
Okay.
Now, and of course, Bradley Chubb is still not all the way back. But the point being, those three guys were out of the equation today.
True.
And I think that is key in noting the performances. Because, you know, Bridgewater is steady Teddy. Not too high, not too low. He's a relatively low variance quarterback.
Right.
But what we saw from Bridgewater yesterday is because he doesn't go too low, that means he can do things under pressure. He had some really nice throws yesterday under pressure from Von Miller, under pressure from Alexander Johnson on A-gap blitz.
By the way, Alexander Johnson got pancaked.
By Lloyd Cushenberry.
I mean, he turned Johnson into a ragdoll.
He did. But then today, you take those guys out of the equation, and Drew Lock has a lot more time to throw. I think but Drew struggled under pressure yesterday. What I'm saying is this. Drew has still not kind of taken that step of being able to flourish when he is under duress. Today kind of helped him rebuild his confidence, but Bridgewater is better under duress. But on a day where the pocket is relatively clean, Bridgewater isn't going to go much higher because he's kind of in the middle, whereas Drew has been either very good or very bad. So basically, this is why Vic Fangio says at practice or after practice today that they've been who and what he expected.
Right. Anything else surprise you at practice? The only thing really newsworthy is that Bobby Massey started at right tackle today, didn't start at right tackle for the first two practices, but we knew this was going to happen. And by the way, we had a terrific conversation with Bobby Massey today, and we will run that interview at 5:00. And honestly, it's less about football than it is about a guy and his wife who have always wanted to live in Colorado, and he happened to luck out that the Broncos were looking for a right tackle.
And he's excited. I actually asked Dalton Reisner about Massey, and you know, Reisner's Mr. Colorado, of course,
right,
growing up in Wiggins, and I guess Massey showed him kind of what he's building down in Larkspur and how excited Dalton was for him. But Dalton also said something interesting. We'll get into this, that Bobby Massey does bring more leadership and experience to that room. And that's a room that needs that kind of leadership and experience that a 10-year vet like Massey can provide. It was good to talk to him, but it's really cool that he's chosen to be here in Colorado. Yep. And maybe this is a good way for him to conclude his career.
Coming up after the break, the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with our friends from the Just Us Guys podcast. We will talk about the Rockies game tomorrow, which will feature Trevor's story. And with all of the moves at the trade deadline, Dodgers made major moves. The Padres made major moves. The Giants made major moves. Right now, Giants lead the division by 3 games over the Dodgers. And the Padres are 2.5 games behind the Dodgers. Now that the trade deadline has passed, who is your favorite to win the division? That's next. You know they're all the same. You know you're doing better on your own. So don't buy in.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew. If you pay the
right price, welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, on your next project, whether you're building a deck, a fence, or anything else, don't pay retail. Pay wholesale at Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Masterpiece Roofing. Find out how Masterpiece can get your insurance company to pay for your roof. Call 720-242-6404 or go to MasterpieceRoofing.com today.
Every Friday on the show, we do the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with our friends Ty, Cal, Kane, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. Two questions. One, Rockies tomorrow against the Padres, who picked up Adam Frazier right near the trade deadline. We're going to give the Rockies -1.5 runs. And then we're going to do a long-term bet. Dodgers made major moves at the trade deadline. So do the Giants. So do the Padres. Who wins the West? Let's start off with the Rockies and Padres.
Rockies and Padres, of course, getting this series going this weekend. Even though they took 2 out of 3 from the Padres in San Diego a few weeks back, don't feel good enough to bet on the Rockies on the road. I'm going to take the Padres in that. And overall in the NL West, you can't discount the magnitude of the moves the Dodgers made, and that trade in particular with the Washington Nationals for Scherzer and Trey Turner. That's a game changer. And basically to take Scherzer from under the rug on the Padres as well. I think the Dodgers end up winning the West.
I'm just wondering what it's going to be like in that Rockies locker room tonight, because the general feeling nationally and locally is the Rockies blew it getting value for Story. And I think a lot of those guys probably look at Bill Schmidt and say, you blew it to get us something to help us. And I think that is going to affect every single guy in that locker room. They're going to be professionals. They're going to go out there and play, but it's going to bother them that they play for an organization that they likely believe doesn't know what the hell it's doing. As for the long term, I will go with the Dodgers. I understand the Giants got Chris Bryant, Padres got Adam Frazier, but when you could pick up a guy like Max Scherzer, which is what the Dodgers did, and it's about pitching, it's hard not to go with the Dodgers, even though they're only 3 games back and are 3 games back of San Francisco. Guys, what do you think? Do you buy what I'm saying about the atmosphere in that Rockies clubhouse?
Absolutely, because if you're on a team that's not contending, you at least want to know that they're starting the process of building things up. You want to know there's a direction. You know, the Padres, that you know, they trade Richard Rodriguez, they trade Adam Frazier, but you know the Pirates have a direction that they're building. They're restocking. They're looking toward the long haul. You go through any number of these teams that acquired at the deadline, from Oakland to Atlanta's below 500 and 4 games back, and they picked up a handful of guys to bolster their bench and their bullpen. The Dodgers, Giants, Padres, you know, everybody has a direction one way or the other, except your Colorado Rockies, who are just standing there. And kind of on a human level as well, the guys like playing with Trevor Story and John Gray.
Right.
But they also want to see them be a part of a contender, because everybody understands the way it is in baseball is if you're in the last year of your contract and it is apparent that the team probably isn't going to re-sign you and they're out of contention, sort of the accepted norm is that the player is going to be dealt. You accept that as part of the deal.
He wanted to be dealt.
Yes.
And he said as much. He goes, I'm confused and not happy about the situation. That's what Trevor Story told Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post. He was expecting to be traded. And I know leading up to it, he said, it's out of my control. I try not to think about it. He's only human. Clearly, he is thinking about it. If I'm Trevor Story, I'm probably thinking this. The Rockies are going to trade me to a contender. I have a chance to potentially win a World Series or at least go deep into the playoffs, and then I'll probably go to the highest bidder. I might not go to a team that has a chance to win, but at least I'll go to the highest bidder. But at least for 2 months, I have a chance to win something.
Yep, and you have to wonder. I mean, you mentioned kind of what they think in the clubhouse. I mean, you know, guys talk with people they know on other teams, other organizations all the time. They talk to their agents. I mean, what are you thinking if you're in that clubhouse right now? You're thinking that you are on a ship without direction. Everybody else is either trying to add to move in the direction of the postseason, or they're trying to divest themselves of resources they're not going to use so they can build toward a better long-term future. Everybody is doing this except out here in the Mountain Time Zone. The baseball world is basically flying over Colorado, and they're standing on the ground just watching all the planes go by, wondering, what the hell should we do?
Here is the exact quote from Trevor Story. I'm confused, and I don't have really anything good to say about the situation and how it unfolded. I'd be willing to bet right now, if you said to Todd Helton, Matt Holliday, Nolan Arenado, and Troy Tulowitzki, in one word, what do you think about this situation? You know what their answer would be?
A four-letter word?
Nope.
What?
Typical.
Yeah.
Typical. Typical Rockies.
I was thinking of a word that Vic Fangio said today, which would probably be accurate, but typical is...
I don't think any of those four guys are surprised with what happened. And Nolan Arenado right now is probably thinking... Oh my God, thank God I asked for a trade.
Yeah, I mean, but this is typical of the Rockies, right? I mean, this is the organization that in the past decade hung on to Troy Tulowitzki basically 2 years too long because they overvalued what they expected to get in return. And this is just how they are. They're operating on their own planet with their own norms compared to the rest of the sport.
Dan O'Dowd, former Rockies GM, who is now a fixture on MLB Network, said about the Story situation, they should have traded him after the 2019 season because they would have gotten something for him because he had 2 years left.
Yeah. That's it.
And I know...
That's a man who learned his lesson from the Tulowitzki fiasco of around 2013.
Well, it was Breidich who traded Tulowitzki.
Well, eventually, but back in 13, it was thought, okay, this team isn't going anywhere. Why not trade Tulowitzki right now? Why not trade him in 2013 when he was playing at an all-star level? And then they end up trading him in 2015, and what they got back from the Blue Jays in that deal end up being relative pennies on the dollar compared to what they would have gotten otherwise.
This is what Bill Schmidt said on Trevor's Story at the press conference. He said this about an hour or so ago. What he said could have been written for him 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because you knew this is what he was going to say.
Yep.
And this is what he said. With what we were offered, we thought the competitive balance pick, the compensatory pick, was better suited for us, and we could have Trevor on our team for another 2 months. If any deals were close, we probably would have gotten it to the finish line. Okay, Bill. Okay.
Coffee's for closers.
What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
The NBA draft happened last night, and the Denver Nuggets picked a Ram. No, not a CSU Ram, but they did add another guard who's quite adept at scoring to the roster. We'll talk about who they picked next right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are looking for major accessory brands for your truck, your car, your Jeep, your SUV, I'm telling you, the place to go is Colorado Off-Road. They install everything as well. And if you need something aftermarket, no problem. They'll do that too. Big box stores are not going to sell you something aftermarket. You know why? They only want to sell you something brand new. That's just the way they work. That's not the way Colorado Off-Road works in Littleton. With that, I want to bring in our friend Jerry from Colorado Off-Road. How are you, my friend?
Okay, Eric, how are you today?
Well, I got a feeling I'm doing better than you because you have had your hands full. I say this all the time. The one thing I love about Colorado Off-Road and you is you are a Littleton native, and it's important to keep your business in Littleton, and you guys are in the process of moving. You're almost done, but you kept your business in Littleton. Tell all of our listeners what's going on.
Yep, so we moved locations for the last couple weeks. We're finishing getting setting up. We got a larger building to allow more space for the guys in the shop. We've got a yard now that's going to be fenced off, so we have more storage availability for everybody. And, yes, it was very important for me to keep my business in Littleton, having grown up in the area.
Yep,
it was a great way to go. So we are just off of Santa Fe, behind Arapahoe Community College on South Prince Street, two blocks from downtown Littleton. Great bars, restaurants in the area, so you can get your truck worked on, go have some lunch, and come back and pick it up.
Dude, you're right near my house. I mean, you can go to the Melting Pot, do a little fondue. They can work on your car. Maybe you can go to the tavern in Littleton, go on that rooftop deck while you're taking care of them, right?
Absolutely. You know, we just had a guy, we've been doing small jobs where we can now. Just had a guy come in yesterday morning, putting on a bed cover on his truck. He goes, I'm going to go get some breakfast right down the street.
Yep.
Went and had breakfast, had some coffee, came back, and we were all done, and he was ready to go.
Is it Lucille's that's near there, or Toast, or what's near there
to go for breakfast? Toast is gone, but Lucille's is, and he went to, I think Joffrey's is what he told me. I can't remember what it was.
Gotcha.
He said he had a great breakfast just right down the street.
Why is it so important for you to be able to do something aftermarket? And I'm asking that because you go to the big stores, they're not going to do anything aftermarket. You guys are one-stop shopping. Aftermarket stuff, install everything. I couldn't even imagine wanting to go anyplace else, not only because you're local, but because you offer everything under one roof, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's the really important thing. Unlike dealerships or a big box store that offer stuff, dealerships don't necessarily, you know, install their own stuff or they install the accessories. They'll sell it to you, but they don't install it. Or they just sell GM's brand, Ford's brand, Dodge's brand. They don't sell everything. And sometimes their warranty, most of the time, their warranties aren't as good as the aftermarket. And you know, you go into the big box store, they're only there. They have a retail counter. They're going to sell it to you and send you on your way. You have a problem, an install problem. Something's wrong with it. It's missing components. They're like, oh, we don't know what to do. We're going to take care of you. You buy it from us, even if you take it home and install it yourself and you have a problem, you can call us up and say, hey, can you get this? Yeah, let me work on that. We'll either order a brand new parts or we'll order a new cover and have you exchange it. You know, if it happened to be a bed cover, something like that. You know, the really cool thing is if you buy a bed cover from us, from some of our brands, and we install it, we will double the warranty.
Wow.
Nationwide.
Wow.
So if it comes with a 5-year warranty, it's going to come with a 10-year warranty. That's the cool thing that we can offer, that buying on the internet, buying on Amazon, buying from a small shop or a big box store that doesn't have that, we can offer.
What is the biggest benefit? There are lots of them, I know. But what is the biggest benefit for customers now going to your new location at 6033 South Prince Street in Littleton?
Big benefit is we've got a larger facility now, so yep, we can handle more volume. We have more shop space. So it's going to be really nice if we have a large project that we're doing on their vehicle. Nice thing, it's going to be able to stay inside now. We're going to have a new fenced yard, so it's got security. We're going to have security cameras up. That's the big thing.
Hmm.
And you know, we're still in Littleton. We're still friendly. Right. We're still family owned.
You're staying at home, man. You want to keep it local. You grew up in Littleton, and now Colorado Off-Road. Yeah, you've moved locations, but it's bigger and better. 6033 South Prince Street in Littleton. And as Jerry said, if you want to go grab some lunch, you are a couple of blocks from downtown Littleton, and there are lots of locations. Jerry, I know this has been quite a move for you and your bride, Wendy. I will see you guys soon.
Take care, Eric.
See
Have
you,
a
man.
Good weekend.
You too. And don't forget, go to cooffroad.com. Time now for What's Trending. Not What's Trending, the final word.
The final word. Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, and you just might have with how busy these last couple days have been in the world of sports, the NBA draft took place last night. The Denver Nuggets had the 26th overall pick, and they selected Nashawn Bones Highland out of the University or Virginia Commonwealth University.
It's Virginia.
Virginia Commonwealth
Virginia.
University. Otherwise, just call them VCU.
Yes, the VCU
All
Ram,
you need to say is VCU.
6'3 guard, the 26th pick, and he can really fill it up. He can shoot from almost anywhere, has great deep range, averaged almost 20 points a game for the Rams last season in his second season for VCU. This is another scoring guard for the Nuggets, like we saw Marcus Howard be last season late. With that addition, what do the Nuggets need to focus on in free agency and the trade market?
Good question. I mean, you
can make the case. You can make the case. If Will Barton doesn't work out, they have this guy. But I don't know if he's necessarily ready to step in. I love the fact that he's a gamer. I love the fact that he talks trash. I saw something on YouTube where he completely dressed down a couple of guys who were talking trash to him.
There's another thing also. Just
he rapped during his interview with Tim Conley.
He's got some flair to him. The other thing about Bones Highland is he's not just a three-point shooter. He's a deep three-point shooter.
Very deep.
You could see... I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to become Dame Lillard, but you could see him hitting the Dame Lillard 31-footer. Like, he's got that sort of range in him, but his game needs a lot of refinement. So he's a depth piece now, and that's all he is at this point.
Well, he might be.
A depth piece this year. Yeah. I don't think he's ready to do much more than that.
I'll tell you this, he needs to put on some weight. He needs to
That's
eat some hamburgers
of the reason why.
Or some pizzas or something, because he is going to get pushed off the ball by bigger guards guarding him.
But the truth is, I mean, again, if they don't re-sign Will Barton, you need to kind of find that substitute. I've mentioned Reggie Bullock from the Knicks. That's what you're focused on. Either it's Will Barton back or somebody who can replace Will Barton. Everything kind of starts there.
That was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, if you are looking for something to upfit your kitchen with, I'm telling you, it's a place to go. Their sales staff, as experienced as it gets, they've had people work there for decades who can help you find you what you need, or you need something to, you know, fit your budget, they can help you as well. You have questions, work with people who have the answers that you are looking for. Mountain High Appliance, you can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, Trevor Story. He's going to be playing tonight with the Rockies. Was not traded. A lot of people around the country are stunned. People locally are disgusted. Thomas Harding, who has covered the Rockies for decades, for MLB.com, joins us next to talk about what happened.